You're healthy. Radio addiction starts now.
Power to the people!
The Laura Ingraham Show.
Phase one is this repeal and replace bill. Phase two, Tom Price deregulates the market. Phase three, pass those reforms that we believe in, that we think will make it even better, but we know we can't put in reconciliation because of the 60-vote threshold.
This so-called three-phase process, that's just not going to happen. We have no guarantees about what might happen in the mythical phase two and phase three.
If you pass a bill out of the House and it can't get 51 votes in the Senate, will you have accomplished something? Well, I believe we can get 51 votes out of the Senate.
The bill as drafted would not pass the Senate. If it's not going to pass the Senate, it raises a good question of why House members would want to vote for this bill and pay the political price for voting for this bill if it is doomed to failure in the Senate.
You are listening to The Laura Ingraham Show, 855-40-LAURA. The latest is, this is still going on. The health care debate is certainly not settled, far from settled, as it seems that more conservatives have more questions, and the administration intends to go on the road with the president traveling to Tennessee to sell this plan. 855-40-LAURA joining us now. It's a great pleasure to have Paul Ryan, Speaker of the House, on with us to give us his perspective on what might change in the legislation and how might conservatives come together from the Freedom Caucus and other conservative organizations to ultimately support a health care reform effort. Speaker Ryan, it's good to talk to you. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing fine. How are you doing, Laura?
I've seen you on every show. My goodness. You were.
Every time
I turn around yesterday, you're on another show from Janesville.
I just came off of Maria Bartiromo's show.
Okay, fine. We don't get the morning exclusive. And by the way, I love how everyone says it's an exclusive. Like, it's an exclusive in this hour.
It's exclusive for this 15 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about where we are. Yesterday, there was more intrigue about what was happening behind closed doors. And the Tom Cotton point that gets raised, and Rand Paul's done the same thing, is that if you all have pretty high confidence that you can get the legislation passed generally in its current form, in that you're very confident in phase three as well, which would include a lot more measures to encourage and competitiveness, then why not simplify this whole thing and do the full repeal of Obamacare in one piece of very simple legislation, full repeal, and concurrently introduce legislation that would do all that good stuff that you've been talking about in phase three?
Because that requires Democrats. And the last thing I think Democrats, who are the architects of Obamacare, want to do is help us create a free market healthcare system. Let me go back a second. In January, when we passed the budget, which gave us this ability, this budget reconciliation bill that can go through the Senate without a filibuster, leaders of the Freedom Caucus, of the Republican Study Committee, of the Tuesday Group, the various groups here in the House, said you must put repeal and replace together in the same bill. We will vote for this if you have replace and repeal in the same bill. The president did a press conference in January saying we're going to do repeal and replace together in the same bill. I think he said in the same hour or something like that. We campaigned on repeal and replace. We have it within our power as Republicans to put most of our replace legislation in the repeal bill and get through the Senate without Democrats, without a filibuster. This is the promise we made. This is the promise we made not only to our members in January, but to the people of this country. Now, what Tom is talking about is the things that we cannot put in here because of the Senate rules are the things that will pass in phase three. I actually don't want to let Democrats off the hook on those things. I don't think Democrats are ever going to work with us to establish free market health care, let the states open up their own markets, have health savings accounts, equalize the tax treatment of health care, and repeal Obamacare. But I don't want to right now say that no Democrat's going to vote for interstate shopping across state lines or association health plans. Let the farmer buy their insurance through the American Farm Bureau plan. Let the small business person buy their insurance through National Federation of Independent Businesses. Let individuals bulk buy their insurance through whatever trade association they want to. I don't want to let Democrats off the hook on that.
Speaker Ryan, I'm very confused about this. Why would it be letting them off the hook? If you start that debate now, you'll have a two-year phase in anyway. You'll have a two-year grace period with a repeal anyway. So why not say this is what we're doing? And by the way, do you want to defend this the collusion that exists now on the part of all these healthcare providers? We're going to take that fight to every vulnerable senator. We're going to take it across the country and over the next year.
Donald Trump is just so excited about barnstorming America in Democrat Senate district states where he won double digits, like Missouri and Indiana and North Dakota and Montana. He's excited about saying your senator is standing in the way of these good reforms. That's what we want to do. But we made a promise that we would do repeal and replace.
But you're not fully repealing Obamacare, right? I mean, well, you keep saying that, but you're not fully repealing it.
We're doing everything you can do in reconciliation. So remember, this is the thing we had in 2015. We passed everything we can in reconciliation to repeal this law. This is that. That's what we're doing here. And then we added replace to it. Blackmailing Medicaid back to the states, equalizing the tax treatment of health care. By the way, what we're passing is the plan we ran on in 2016. It's the plan that we've been drafting with the White House and the Senate committees since January. And so I think there's a lot of misinformation and confusion out there. And we want members to improve these bills. That's the legislative process, the making the refinements and improvements to make this bill even better as it goes through the four committee process in the House is how laws are written. And then if the Senate doesn't like it, we pass this bill, we send it to them, and then they take it from there. If a senator doesn't like a certain provision in this bill, then they can go amend the bill. That's how bills become law. So senators aren't helpless to what the House does. The senators have their own process. They actually call it Votorama. So you can amend this thing however you want to when the bill goes to the Senate. And that's what I would encourage the Senate to do. If they think there's something that should be changed and improved, then they should go amend the bill when the bill goes to the Senate, because that's how legislation works. So the point I'm trying to make, Laura, is the worst thing we could do is not follow up on our word. We need to keep our word. And our word was we would repeal and replace this law. It is within our own power as Republicans to do as much as repeal and replace as possible.
But
it is our obligation to do that.
Yeah, I've heard you say that, and I get what you're saying. But isn't the ultimate goal to bring down the cost of health care and ultimately health insurance? And the rising cost of health insurance is really a symptom of the lack of competition in the marketplace, correct? I mean, that's really what's going on. And as far as I can tell, not much in this so-called repeal. And, you know, Ramin Askwi, who I'd really want you to talk to about this, I mean, he has just he has done the most extensive writing about this and review of this. He's a practicing, renowned cardiologist in Washington. And he said, Laura, if they want to bring down this price of health care, then they have to break up the health care monopolies in the United States. That will be a popular move coast to coast. You could start arguing that point now after you fully repeal Obamacare. And but you're saying you don't have 51 votes to repeal Obamacare today in reconciliation, fully repeal it.
No, you can't. You can repeal the fiscal parts of it.
Right.
You can't repeal, say, like essential health benefits, the regulatory stuff.
Yeah, but that all goes away without the other parts.
We basically are repealing it because we're ending its fiscal pieces. If you defund the law doesn't work. So that's what we're doing is we're basically defunding. We're taking out the taxes and the spending of Obamacare. And without the taxes and spending of Obamacare, there really isn't an Obamacare. But and then we're replacing it with Republican tax policy that's been longstanding stuff that the Heritage Foundation and the American Enterprise Institute have been talking for
years.
So
why are they all against this?
It's the Tom Price bill that most conservatives co-sponsored here just this last year. But back to your other point, you're right about this. Let me just back up. You are right. Our goal is to improve access to health care by lowering the costs of health care and increasing competition. And so this is what phase two is all about. Tom Price can deregulate health care. When the Democrats wrote this law, which they took 60 votes to write it, they put 1,400 provisions in the law that says the secretary has all this discretion. Well, Tom Price is going to use that discretion in reverse, and the states will be able to create their own free markets in health care. He's going to deregulate the federal system. And so what you'll see with something that is within our control, the Trump administration This is what Price is working on. He's been in the job 2 or 3 weeks. He's already way down the path getting this done, deregulating the healthcare system, which is not included in this bill because that's regulatory. So the point I would make is you take those first two moves, the repeal and replace, that's reconciliation, that's Republican only, and the Trump administration's deregulation that they have the authority to do, those two moves right there dramatically lower healthcare costs, increase choices, go back to states setting up free markets. And by the way, even the CBO, which I would argue is not real kind to free market healthcare, even the CBO says this first bill lowers costs. This first bill, when the reforms kick in, bring the premiums down. So even the CBO is saying this first wave of reforms lowers premiums. Then you bring the Tom Price, Donald Trump reforms, that brings them down even lower. And we're going to pass these other bills, which we can't put in reconciliation because they take 60 votes, and put pressure on Senate Democrats to support them. We're bringing the McCarran-Ferguson bill to the floor next week, which breaks up these monopolies you're talking about. That bill, you cannot put in reconciliation.
You voted against the reimportation legislation, right, that would have allowed more competition among drug prices?
Yeah, I'm talking about that was probably 15 years ago.
Yeah, well, I'm bringing that up for a reason, because pharma sprinkles a lot of money around politics, Republicans and Democrats. So that's a separate question, but I'm going to the price of care. And I don't have to tell you that the price of prescription drugs have been flying up for a long time. And
I don't remember whether I voted for or against reimportation. I think. When was this, 1999?
Yeah, it was a while ago. But my point is, those are the kinds of very popular moves
right.
to increase competition that some Republicans were on the other side of conservatives, and I think you were one of them. Medicare Part D was another initiative that you voted in favor of, the expansion of Medicare. Other fiscal conservatives, including Mike Pence, voted against that back in 2003, I believe. So is there a divide here between you and some of these other fiscal conservatives on the way government should be involved in providing these services to individuals? Because I'm looking at perhaps a philosophical divide that's at the heart of all of this.
I think so. So Part D, we wanted to be a private system, not a public system. We wanted private plans to compete against each other for people's business. And what happened was it lowered the cost of this by 40%. It created health savings accounts. That's the law I worked on in that particular bill, which we think is critical to lowering costs and giving more health care freedom. We agree on those things. So I would say we're using our free market principles in the principle of federalism, which is get the federal government out of this stuff and applying it to this bill. What do conservatives basically uniformly believe? Let's defederalize Medicaid and send it back to the states and cap its growth rate. This bill does that. It's the biggest entitlement reform we've ever had. This is bigger than welfare reform. This saves, just in this bill right here, over $800 billion because we're giving Medicaid back to the states and we're capping its growth rate.
Right, and you're not worried about the state.
That's what this bill does.
Yeah, you're not worried about the state budgets going belly up after this expansion starts to retreat, right, over the shortened period of time. You're not worried about the state budgets.
But we're saying that's why we give them a couple year glide path, so we don't blow up state budgets, because they have biennial budgets. Most states budget in 2 years, so that's why we had to have a transition so that we didn't blow up their budgets in the next couple of years. But then the expansion goes away and it's done, and so everybody's treated the same, and we give everybody the states basically, here's your Medicaid money. You reform your program. The federal government's not going to be doing this. And then on the people who are not on Medicaid. Conservatives, whether it was Jim DeMint when he was in Congress, whether it was Pat Toomey over here or Tom Price, have all basically said, let's equalize the tax treatment of health care so we have a vibrant individual market. That's what tax credits and HSAs are all about.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to stay on this. We have a couple of other questions for you. Delighted to have Paul Ryan, Speaker of the House, on The Laura Ingraham Show. Stay with us. Don't go away.
The Laura Ingraham Show.
Back on the Laura Ingraham Show with Paul Ryan, Speaker of the House. We're talking health care and other issues as well. Speaker Ryan, I know you you answered the question on Martha McCallum last night about that the audio tape that came up from October. You said you wouldn't support the president, you wouldn't defend him, wouldn't campaign with him. I didn't think that was news. I mean, it's audio, but we kind of knew that before. But I guess the underlying concern for conservatives, and I'm seeing the tweets that are coming in, is that because of this, the past disagreements with and even animosity, that is, you said, is ancient history with Trump, with President Trump, that the two of you still really aren't on the same page, and that you know, and with the health care especially, you're selling him a pig and a poke. The report that, you know, Spicer is working hard behind the scenes at the White House to try to keep this health care thing going. Bannon's kind of on the sidelines. I'd like you to address that report today in the Washington
Post.
Yeah,
just fundamentally disagree on that. We wrote this bill with our friends in the White House, in the Senate.
Which friends in the White House? On this, which friends?
Meaning the Trump people.
But which ones?
The Trump White House.
Bannon?
Mick Mulvaney, Tom Price, all those guys, the healthcare people. The point I'm saying is, and by the way, I've talked to Reince and Bannon about this a number of times, we are all on the same page. I mean, absolutely, with the president. The president is bringing members of our caucus down there saying, we need you to support this. We need you to support this. They're making phone calls. I remember saying, this is the right way to go. This is what we want to do.
He doesn't want it to be called Trump Care, though. They want it to be called Ryan Care.
We call it the American Health Care Act. But hey, can I get you on something else? I just checked. I appreciate the commercial break. I voted for drug reimportation when that came through back in, 2001. And in Wisconsin, you can get them from Canada, which has an FDA equivalent regulatory regime. And that's where the safety issue comes in, which is they've got to have an FDA system in place like we do. They do. So where I come from, it's not that uncommon because we're right on the Canadian border. But so I did vote for that, just to clarify the record. Mm. But back to your other point, we are on the same page with the White House. I think there are those who would love to wedge us for one reason or another, but that's just not the case. We are on the same page. We laid out a plan for the president on how to achieve his legislative agenda in 2017. It's get the wall funded. It's make sure that we get the regulations pared back. Congress does its role on this. The administration does that role. We rebuild the military. We repeal and replace Obamacare. We reform the tax system. We get the infrastructure going. All of those things are things that we agreed that we would work on in 2017. And by the way, we laid out together jointly a timeline for how to achieve that. We were on that timeline. We are literally on the week when we decided to do this plan with the president in December. We are literally on the week we were planning on where we were planning on being. The snow knocked us off a day because there was a snowstorm here in Washington.
I have one question.
But we were literally executing the plan that we jointly wrote with the White House and the Senate.
I have one question. I know Trump campaigned on this, but why are 26-year-olds considered so infantile that they can't provide for their own health care? With the 26 and under? I don't understand. We had people storming the beaches of Normandy at 17 years of age.
Yeah, I know. When they were like nine. Oh, God rest his soul. A very, very, very close friend of my family just passed away in 91, and he was 19 when he was fighting the Nazis. The answer to your question is, you just made me think of somebody I was dear to me. The question is, this is in every Republican plan that was out there. The president ran on it. All the House Republican, Senate Republican replacement plans did it. Mm. It's not an expensive requirement, and it just basically is. It's not an requirement. It's just allow these people to be on their
Paul Ryan, plan. Thank you so much. Sorry we have to cut you off. Hard break here. We really appreciate your sharing your thoughts on this. Stay with us.